This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Wow, congratulations to Kansas City for their big win, going to the Super Bowl for the first time since 1970. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. And I know that we do have a lot of Chiefs fans who are listening in Kansas City and in the great state of Missouri and a lot of nooks and crannies. And I know people outside those borders who are fans of Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. You heard Pat Mahomes there first, the young quarterback, and Andy Reid, the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. So they represent the AFC on February 2nd in the NFC Championship game. The 49ers really doused the Packers 37-20. It was a very tough Super Bowl for Aaron Rodgers, I think, who is spectacular, but on this day he was not spectacular. There was a monster performance by Raheem Mostert's 4 touchdowns, and I think that is the conversation afterwards, so much conversation about what he was able to do. So congratulations to those teams. And, you know, we do our Nail the Score thing, so we'll have a special Nail the Score for the Super Bowl. Sad news coming out of Hawaii. As many of you know, I took the show to Hawaii this year, in fact, to Honolulu. And you know how I feel about the boys in blue. 2 Honolulu police officers were sadly killed in a shooting on Sunday morning in the area where I was. In fact, Diamond had the station that first heard of it. The local television station reported that the suspect in the shooting set a home on fire, and then they're investigating, obviously, from there. I saw a tweet from the mayor, Kirk Caldwell, who said, "I want to express my deep condolences to the family and friends of the 2 officers, as well as the entire Honolulu Police Department. This is an unprecedented tragedy, not only for the city and county of Honolulu, but for the entire state of Hawaii." And I would agree with that. Very sad anytime anything like that happens. It is Martin Luther King Day, so many people do have off, or certainly government offices are shut. So while the conversation moves to impeachment and what's going to happen there, there's a reason why the trial is supposedly, if it all goes forward, is set to start on Tuesday. Some interesting things have happened. 2 of the president's leading defenders said on the Sunday Swirl, I call that the talking head shows on television, that the Senate will not vote to dismiss the articles of impeachment against him, though both argued the president committed no impeachable offenses. So Senator Lindsey Graham, longtime Republican from South Carolina, one of the big backers certainly for the president, said he wanted it to die quickly when it reached the Senate floor. He said that this process has been a partisan railroad job. He said the efforts to have the articles of impeachment dismissed before the trial is dead, though, for all practical purposes, because there was some discussion anyway about that. Now, high-profile criminal defense attorney Alan Dershowitz, he's been named to the Trump legal team. He was also on the tube on CNN on a show called State of the Union. He said a motion is not going to be made in the Senate to dismiss the case against the president as it was in the Bill Clinton trial, but he said he believes such a move would be warranted. I think by now you all understand where this is headed. The president is accused of leveraging military aid to pressure Ukraine. The Ukraine is announcing a pair of investigations that stood to benefit the president ahead of 2020. So no dismissal, it looks like. And, you know, now we move forward. And as I said, what this looks like, we'll see as it happens, because we'll be watching and we'll have the up-to-date everything we can for you with the contacts, et cetera, and the context and sound from what's going on in the Senate. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff, the lead impeachment manager, called Alan Dershowitz's argument that abuse of power is not an impeachable. He said it was absurd. So already, and this has been happening, the mudslinging of words just absolutely continues as this moves forward, like I said. But as we watch that, it's interesting. A couple of other quick hits for you from over the weekend. You had, sadly, as I mentioned, the two police officers who were killed in Hawaii. And you now have these weird questions about the impeachment and some of the processes at this point and what's going to happen. And then you've got this story about a boy being arrested after a shooting that killed four in Utah. And this was another, again, very sad story to wake up to, I have to tell you. He killed three kids and a woman inside the house. And there was a fifth victim that went to the hospital and he took the fifth victim to the hospital where he was arrested. They're trying to piece this all together. Some of you listening know the story I'm talking about. For everybody else, this is super, super sad. It's the largest mass shooting in Utah since 2007. And back then it was different because this was a gunman who killed five people and himself inside a mall in Salt Lake City. And in this area, this town in Grantsville, a small town 35 miles outside of Salt Lake City, is the first homicide in 20 years. The boy faces 10 charges, the most serious aggravated homicide. They can't release the identity because he has been charged as a juvenile. His relationship to the victims, they're not saying. The names of the victims haven't been released. So there's lots of speculation, family, etc. But no specifics, I guess, I'll put it that way, because they have to deal with the age, etc., and move forward from that. All right, something I'm going to throw out here, because coming up on this show, it's interesting, we're going to take you in a couple of different places, including a fun segment I did with Manshore, it was earlier in the week, where we were trying to figure out the end of Homeland, because that's one of my favorite shows. I do watch a little TV. And then Julie Duane joins us at the tail end of this hour, and she's got a story to tell. Every day when I wake up, no matter what is going on in this country, no matter what crap is being served up out of Washington, no matter arguments that are happening, I say this all the time, left of left, right of right, whatever it is, frustrations. We live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. And you listen to her story about the South Sudan and leaving the South Sudan and the things that have happened there and all the murders and all the just the way of life there. And it is just a reminder for somebody who needs to bump up against that reminder that we, again, are still in the best position and the best place in the world that we could possibly be. Biased as I may be, and many of you might be, when I hear these stories, it just again nails it over and over. Not that I haven't thought that from day one as a kid, and I've talked about this growing up outside of Philadelphia and walking through Independence Hall and what that was like, and how I was constantly in my mind reminded of that. All right, so buckle up, hang on, and we're coming at you with much more next.
Pain in the neck.
Ugh.
A real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs. You now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay Wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
Sweet. We are in the mailbag. As the man says, and in the mailbag, you have plenty to say about, of course, impeachment. We just can't get away from it. And something about the troops and the Iranian missile strikes. I talked a lot about that. And then some lighter fare as well. So without further ado, let's dive into it. Some new emails. You can always serve it up at katedelaneyradio.com. Click on contact and then let it flow, as it were. Or you jam on the digits. You have something you're chomping at the bit. What do you think happens with this whole impeachment thing? Is it going to be pretty quick, as the president says, and then that's it? Or will this drag out a little bit? The timeline is interesting. 855-266-5283, because we don't want to close you out if you're, again, dying to dive on the digits. But let's take this one from John. John says, Kate, I heard you give the big shout out to KVOI. You need, girl, to come back to Tucson. I heard you talk before about Tucson and having been there many, many times and spending time watching our baseball team. Bravo for that. It is a cool place in the desert. I did not grow up here, but I do enjoy it, so thanks for that. I'll tell you what, I think what's really, really interesting is this Iranian attack, and you've talked about it, the fact that it's lucky they scrambled practice drills, which of course they did, but meaning the troops that were on the base, but that Al-Assad air base was really a wreck afterwards, and at least 11 guys, from what I understand, were injured during that attack, and kind of concussion-like symptoms is what I heard earlier in the day. Can you enlighten me more? Well, you have a beat on it, yeah. They were treated for concussion-like symptoms or symptoms, because think of the blast and falling and how loud that could be, and the bases house about 1,500 troops, and the missiles that hit them, you look at that, and if you knew someone there, I don't even know someone there, but I care about the guys that are serving there, and it really is sobering to see it. Very sobering. So lots of people have been treated and screened since then to make sure that they're okay. I mean, a concussion is nothing to make light of, as we certainly know, and we've seen this from people who have had concussions in the past, or a series of concussions, what sometimes that can lead to down the road. So that the killing of Soleimani, then the retaliation of it, and the fact that nobody was killed is, again, just amazing. But now there's speculation that did Iran deliberately miss the troops to prevent further escalation of any of the hostilities? I mean, well, how would they do that? Let me cherry-pick these missiles. I don't know. Realizing what? That they could run for cover, because if you look at the base, I think it is miraculous that there weren't some troops that were hit. And I don't know. I mean, I know there are targets you're aiming for and hitting, and it can be in a particular area. And in the, you know, this Al-Assad military airbase, you couldn't be guaranteed that people wouldn't be in some of those areas. And I'm telling you, you look at the photographs from afterwards, and you look at even some of the video that I've seen, and the damage is pretty impressive in a sad way. So I do think that there would have been no guarantee of that. Perhaps they could have known areas to go for. I don't necessarily doubt that. There was definitely an attempt to retaliate and shake things up, and certainly that happened. And what are the next steps, or what happens next? I mean, the tension is thick in the air. You can't deny that. And could there be another misstep of some sort? Could something ignite our worst fears, which would be war? Because I don't think anyone really wants to see that happen. But at the same time, I think you got to keep the pressure up on Iran. I disagree with others who think we don't need to be involved. It's too late. We're involved. So that's the thing. It's the level of involvement. Because we already are there. We've already invested in various areas. This is just another piece on the board that's a very important piece. So just turning a blind eye and that's that, and we're moving from it. No. Especially based on some of what it sounds like Soleimani was set to do. And I say this all the time. I mean, let's face it. We live in the world of slant. We live in the world of slant because we have a polarized nation. So you can find your slant, whatever you want your slant to be. You can find coverage for that. But I think looking at this at face value, Iran, it was always dangerous, and we've seen that in the past. And to be naive to the possibilities and to not be on top of it, and I think, frankly, we've seen this, where we let our foot off the gas, and ultimately it can lead to disaster. I think it has to be there. In fact, I would say I know it has to be there. It would not benefit Iran based on what we have going on in the region and what we know is possible to do, some more crippling economic sanctions. Think of the shipping lanes. It wouldn't make any sense for Iran to press that even harder. To dance around it, okay, but to press it harder would not be smart for them to do, because we still would hold a bigger cards, I guess, in this game. All right, that was a long answer, huh? Let's go to this one quickly from Harry. And Harry says, Kate, the funniest thing I saw was something that I happened to catch on the tube about Senator Warren going after Bernie Sanders, and that whole idea of, did you say I was a liar on national TV? Did you catch that? Yeah, because, you know, I don't know, they must know this, but mics are never turned off. Didn't we learn that from other things that have happened to politicians? Of course. So the mics weren't turned off, and what happened was, after the debate the other day, Elizabeth Warren said, "Did you just call me a liar on national? I think you called me a liar on national TV." And then Bernie Sanders was kind of seemed perplexed or taken aback or whatever, and he said, "You know, let's not do it right now. If you want to have that discussion, I'll have that discussion." And then Warren said, "Any time you called me a liar, you told me, all right, let's not do it now." So there must have been some conversation where he said a woman could not become president, because that was the story that broke before they were on the stage. And I guess they are not speaking to each other. They sent emails, but they have, you know, they're being encouraged to not escalate the conflict, but obviously they don't agree. And it was interesting because Tom Steyer got in between them, and then that kind of wrapped it up, but their mics were left on. Again, mics afterwards. There's just be there's, behind the mic. That's the book I've always wanted to write. But of course, it would take an army of lawyers to approve it. But what you know that happens behind the mic, the stories of the slips and the faux pas that are made, and there's one right there. Because why not wait and hammer him on it? She was furious, and she held her tongue, I guess, during the whole thing. All right, here's another quick one. This one from Jeffrey. And Jeffrey says, Kate, wow, watching this whole ceremonial thing with the House and then over to the Senate and the Chief Justice presiding over the impeachment. I mean, he's just there sort of to keep law and order is what I'm assuming. And what the guest list is, or the witness list, as you've talked about, I think is really what is critical. I mean, you know, all of a sudden you have the disappearing Secretary of the Energy, the Energy Secretary in Rick Perry, who had resigned. Does he get called? Does he get subpoenaed? And is Lev Parnas subpoenaed? Because certainly of what we have heard, I mean, who gets subpoenaed in all of this besides anybody that was subpoenaed before by the House? Will we hear testimony from them again? Well, it's whatever I think the new evidence or the new material that's coming out is where it gets the most interesting. And then the perception, because remember, it's who's ever the witness, it's their version, and then it's how they are questioned in this. And Rudy Giuliani, to me, is the central figure, I would think. He's the one that, what does he have to say about what happened? Oh, that day in July, the 25th. President says it should be quick, and it's ridiculous, pretty much. And some Republicans say they think that's exactly what it'll do. It'll exonerate him, and others are not too sure. We'll see next week. Hang with us.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Just ahead of the start of the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump, Republican Senator John Cornyn says it's up to the House managers to act as prosecutors in the proceedings, and it's not the Senate's job.
This isn't the Senate's responsibility to make the case. This is the House's responsibility under the Constitution, and the Senate's supposed to decide the case sitting as a court of impeachment.
Cornyn on CBS's Face the Nation. Lead House Manager Adam Schiff says he's unsure if the Senate will agree to call new witnesses, but
Americans are watching that they're going to demand a fair trial, and if the senators don't give the country a fair trial, one that's fair to the president but also fair to the American people, the senators will be held accountable.
Schiff on ABC's This Week. The impeachment trial should begin sometime Tuesday morning. This is USA Radio News.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association Annual Convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA President, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians or public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at AVMA.org.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Warning, don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build for your business to grow, call General Steel today for a pre-engineered steel building designed for your needs. No wasted space. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building. And you can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction. As much as half. But you must call now. If you need a church building, office, warehouse, manufacturing space, retail space, or more, call General Steel today. You can still get the General's 50-year structural warranty and General Steel quality, all at a price you can afford. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great.
800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
All right, my favorite time of the week when Manshore, aka my Hubs, joins us on the air. Talk about all sorts of interesting things, lots of odds and ends. And, you know, speaking of ends, it's always a big deal when people have a beloved show like, let's say, The Wire, West Wing, Friends, Go Old School, Dallas, MASH. When series end and you've been invested in them, how they finish is really, really important. So there's a popular series on Showtime called Homeland that stars a couple of really good actors, and Claire Danes is one of them. She's the main character, I would say, in this, along with Mandy Patinkin, who is another main character. So, I don't know. I thought, Manshore, that you and I would take a crack at doing our own ending. What do you think?
All right.
All right, so you're ready to attempt this. Because, of course, the fake network, Crackle, asked us if we would write our own ending to what Showtime is going to ultimately serve up for us, I guess, in March sometime, by the time this eighth season rolls around. So we're going to beat them to the punch, the real producers of Homeland, and give them an alternative ending, I suppose. So cue the music, please, studio. hijab.
Gary, I've been there for you the last 8 years, but today, I finally am close to finishing the New York Times crossword puzzle, and it's Sunday. Do you know how hard it is to do? Will Shorts makes these things impossible. I have a lot riding on it. The war in Afghanistan has been going on for 19 years. It can wait. By the way, four across starts with the N, the Russian word for no.
Come on, Saul! It's easy! Nyet!
That was just a trap to see if you really are a Russian spy, like the agency is saying.
You have to be kidding! You know me, Saul! For God's sake, you know me!
No, that's the rumor. I knew something was off when you stole my Stoli.
Because I like vodka? Are you kidding me? You know I was a bartender back in college, and I was forced to do shots to keep up with the rest of the crew shuffling in and out of the bar. I had to support my habits.
Still, I thought it was funny when you wore Russian gear at the Sochi Olympics under the guise you would blend in.
That was the assignment. Don't you remember, Saul? The trouble I went through to qualify for the Russian bobsled team.
Listen, kid, I gotta solve this puzzle. There's not enough time to wrap this up. Prove you aren't a Russian spy in the war in Afghanistan. We're gonna have to do another season.
Guess I'll have time to read my Russian copy of War and Peace.
It's a wrap.
I don't know. How do you think we did, America? I like it. What do you think? You like that ending?
I'm ready to go to bed.
Exhausting, right? Doing writing, producing, directing, the whole thing. I have no idea how it's going to end. Of course, we couldn't crack into the Showtime vault, so we had to just do what we could for Crackle, and that was that. But seriously, the end of shows are a big deal. Friends. They couldn't be bigger. I mean, Jennifer Aniston became a bona fide movie star. She goes on Instagram and immediately picks up, I don't know how many millions of people. She's up to like 23 million people on her Instagram. But they, on their last episode, 52.5 million people tuned in. Because this was must-see TV. Now, the competition was different because you didn't have all these cable shows that you have now, but I still think it would have been popular. So a decade after viewers first watched their first episode of all of them at Central Perk, they went back into the coffee shop, and that was, you know, they said goodbye to their apartments, they left the keys on the counter, they walked out to get one last coffee in an emotional kind of finale. I think most people thought Friends ending was okay. Did you watch Friends?
Occasionally, because it was on all so much.
So you didn't even care. You weren't into the whole Friends scene that much, or you would have watched all of it.
No.
Okay, we might have to go back and see that final one. But I was a Friends fan. I was in, at that time, I was in Dallas, and I knew a lot of people that watched Friends. It was kind of a thing that people talked about. The other thing that people talked about, and I lived in California when in the beginning when this show was going on, or like toward the end of it, actually, toward the end of it, they had Seinfeld, right? So Seinfeld, which was funny if you understood their humor, because really it was a show about nothing. That's what the show was about. And it was about, you know, Jerry Seinfeld being funny and how people reacted to different things. And it was on for a decade, too. And so you had these gang of friends from New York, and what basically happened was controversy kind of set in, because at the end there was this whole weird thing where they went to, you know, were they going to die? They were on a plane. There was all kinds of weird things. They ended up standing trial, and there was a series of character witnesses that became sort of a parade of some of the funniest episodes of Seinfeld, and it was odd. I don't know. The conclusion I thought was terrible, because I was a fan and I didn't think it was good. And in fact, a lot of people downgraded it. I was reading a review. Entertainment Weekly's writer gave it a C- at the time. And so a lot of people try to defend it afterwards and say, you know, why did it end this way or whatever. But I don't know. I guess it was too hard to tie up. What do you think?
Didn't see it.
Did you see the end of any shows?
I saw the end of your silly show, and it was terrible.
You saw the end of The Wire.
The Sopranos I'm talking about.
Oh, The Sopranos. Oh, I love The Sopranos. For everybody watching this, obviously you know I have that weird bent toward espionage, which of course is Homeland, which we just did our fake ending of Homeland. And definitely the mafia thing growing up back east. There's always those conversations, those whispered hushes about the Gambino family or whoever else. So The Sopranos kind of mirrored that for me. And I thought the ending was terrible. They were in a diner. And like you thought, oh no, someone's going to come in and kill the family or kidnap Tony Soprano. And that was it. So you thought that was weak too?
That was it.
That was it. But I think there's pressure for writers to wrap it up and kind of tie it up for us, and maybe it's a hard thing to do when you've are cranking out. I'm not giving them an excuse, but you're cranking out episode after episode after episode after episode. So think about it. How would you ever end a show with Mariska Hargitay, who's got to be one of the most popular people on TV, Dick Wolf series, the Law and Order stuff, and it's the Special Victims Unit, the SVU. How do you end that?
The answer is it never ends.
Yeah, it just never ends. She has to do it until she takes her last breath. Because I don't know how. I mean, I suppose they're little vignettes, but there still is the whole personal story that's weaved into it. So I know Mariska Hargitay is a big fan of this show. She's probably listening. So don't quit. Right? That's the best advice. She can't quit.
That used to be your girl crush.
She was my girl crush, yes, because I thought she was such a good actress, and I loved that show. And sure enough, I mean, there's a reason why she has job security. Absolutely. All right, I'd be remiss having you here because you used to fly, and you got a degree in aeronautics, and you know a lot about planes. What do you make of this Delta dumping the fuel over the kids? 44 kids, they had stuff in their eyes, and they had some administrators that were hurt, 44 people. And so, of course, fire trucks were there. But nobody, you know, they had the response. The hazardous trucks were there, but the injuries were considered serious. None of the injuries were considered serious enough to take them to the hospital.
There's a lot of water and a lot of desert right outside of L.A., so take your pick. I don't think they had to dump it over a bunch of schools unless that was the flight path they were told to be on by flight control.
I bet you flight control did tell them that because they were going all the way from L.A. to Shanghai. And then they started having engine trouble. So there must have been, you know, that panic of, we got to get back. So I bet it was that flight plan that took them, because like you said, there is areas they could have dumped it. It was really crazy. You and I watched David Muir, and we saw the video of the trail of what was being dumped, a lot of it, because it would be too dangerous to land. Is that what the deal is?
Yeah, the planes are able to take off, but they're too heavy to land if they're full of fuel to take a transcontinental flight.
And because then they would explode, right? Or they could explode.
Well, it would crunch the landing gear, and then it could start a fire, and then possibly an explosion, yes.
Oh, yeah, so that had to happen. Unfortunately, it was right over this school, and it was an elementary school, by the way, just southeast of Los Angeles. So they were in the flight path. I think we're on the flight path where we are. Are we on the flight path where we are? Yeah. It's funny, I don't hear many planes, but every once in a while you'll hear one that seems like it's a little low or something. Yeah. All right, good job. I liked your soul.
Thanks.
All right, stay with us. Much more happening as we tie this all up on the flip side.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahebo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is something that we have talked about on this show for years now, thanks to my friend Ellen Ratner, and she is going to love hearing this interview with Julie Duani, who has written a book called The Sudan People's Liberation Movement, and that's just one part of it. Wait till we get deeper into this, but I want you to have the short version so you know how to find it on Amazon. So, Julia, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, Kate. So I really appreciate it.
Let's talk about, and I know the problems in the Sudan, but you really know the problems in the Sudan. What happened, what transformation happened that you think people don't realize what's really going on in South Sudan?
You know, the story of South Sudan goes back a long time. And people don't realize how long has this country been in war. From the Sudan Islamic Government in the 50s up to 72, when they have a partial agreement where South Sudan become autonomous. And after 10 years, the Islamic Party took over and canceled all the constitution, and South Sudan has to go back to war because that they don't accept Islamic law to be the law of the country. So it's 1983, that's when the second civil war came in, up to 2005, when they signed the Comprehensive Peace Agreement with the Islamic government with the intention that South Sudan will go for a referendum to choose between unity of the country or separate from the country. And 2011, there was an interim period of six years, and then we went for the referendum, which South Sudan voted for separation. You know, 97.9% to separate, to be an independent state. There was a hope there. You know, people thought now we have achieved what we have been fighting for almost 40-something years. Now here we are. We are now a people, and we will fix ourselves, learning from all others, you know, liberations which has happened in Africa. South Sudan was in a better place because there were new ideas, there were more people educated, and people can choose between, you know, autocracy and democracy. And South Sudan say this is the time we have to show ourselves that we can become a democratic state. That didn't last long. Just within a year, the autocracy of the SPLM kick in, that South Sudan, you know, become one man rule, one party rule, and people say, no, this is not what we fought for. And then this is what the second, you know, the third civil war within South now has happened. People think that it just happened in 2013. No, it didn't happen in 2013. It happened in 1983, when the SPLA was established. SPLA was established as a communist, you know, ideas, on the communist ideas, that the rule of law is in one man's hand, which is Dr. John Gurren, which has formed the SPLA and SPLM. He is the head of the political party, political wing, and he is the head of the army. So this thing, people thought that it cannot happen. If we are to fight for the liberation of South Sudan, we have to now begin to establish a democratic process, even within the liberation movement. It didn't happen. It brought the friction within the movement itself.
Mm.
And they fought among themselves.
Wow.
And this carry on up to 2013. So we are saying that the current situation is not just, you know, what happened overnight. It is something which has been established long time ago.
Yes.
One man rule.
And you say that.
One man party.
Let me stop you for a second. I want to make sure every people know that, because you really explained that well, Julia. The Sudan People's Liberation Movement / Army, SPLM, a systematic crisis for South Sudan. And you say this on your title. It's a subtitle,
yes.
1983 to 2013. So here's the question, as you laid this out for us, and so many people have been killed, what can people listening do? What can they do to help?
The reason I wrote this book is for the people who have been supporting South Sudan. South Sudan received, you know, worldwide support, you know, especially in the United States and Europe. They stood with the people of South Sudan since the 1950s through the 90s, you know, up to 2005, when U.S. really came out very strongly and supported the peace process. He said the war is not going anywhere. The only way is the Sudan government and the People's Liberation Army has to sit down and negotiate. And it was big, full support from the people in the United States. Since we became independent in 2011, we have neglected our friends. We have not gone back to people who have helped us and say, here, thank you for helping us. Right now, the government has become very even hostile to the people who have helped us. The churches of this country have stood with us. the common individual in the United States to children in elementary schools who have got out $1 to donate it to support the children of South Sudan so that they can get educated. This book is to inform them. This is what has happened. You need to know it, and you should not give it up. We still need you. We still need our friends. We still need our colleagues to come out as they came out in the 80s and the 90s and 2000 and fought and stood with us. So that's why I wrote this book. I need our audience to read it from page one to the last page.
Because then they understand what happened. And for you who lived it, you know, we have a couple of minutes left, and you've explained why people should read it. And it's really so detailed, and it does take you through the history of everything. What was it like for you to write this book?
It is really, to me, it is like my life story. Is that just like my life story? During when I grew up, also my father was fighting the North. He was one of the politicians who really stood up for South Sudan. Islam cannot work as a law in Sudan. So I grew up in a household where vision of South Sudan, you know, were being articulated. So as a young person, I grew up in the war, born in the war, grew up in the war, became a mother in the war, and now I'm a grandmother in the war. So it is all my life, an experience of it, seeing things which are happening with the statistics which are very shocking.
Yeah.
Like currently with the United Nations, you know, statistics of 4 million people displaced in South Sudan.
Wow.
Either internally or outside the country. Look, inside the country, the institutions are not working. The insecurity is so bad. People are not even, who are living in their land, cannot cultivate. So it is estimated by the UN, 5 million to 7 million will need a food assistance. So what country is that? What country is that? If you have 10 to 12 million people, you have 7 who are in verge of starvation. You have 4 million you have displaced. Now, where is the country? Where are the people?
Exactly.
So to me this is heartbreaking. To me, this is my, you know, it's my life.
Of course, it's your life. And we want to tell everybody to pick it up, and as you said, Julia, to read it from the front page, the first page to the back, the Sudan People's Liberation Movement, Army, SPLM, A Systematic Crisis for South Sudan. Julia Dewani, thank you so much for sharing your story and shining a light on what's happening in the South Sudan.
Thank you very much. Great. Thank you.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen, well, hopefully not, while pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.